Today on Real Radio.
The Bible there lays out in extreme detail about the suffering that the Messiah would go through. Listen, look at the evidence concerning Jesus. Understand this. God help us in this world that we're in right now. Because you know what? The biggest black eye that the church has been delivered by itself by Christians. Christians who fail to appreciate what Jesus has done. Christians who flirt and date and goof around with sin like it's nothing. And then they say, oh, God's going to forgive me.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're examining a part of chapter 18 that records some of what the Messiah did and said as he knowingly headed toward his conviction and execution. This included healing a blind man. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called, Are You Willing to Receive Your Sight?
When the Bible says take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God, it uses the word Makaira. You are to use the Makaira in your life, the exact word of God for the specific purpose in your life. For example, if you're being tempted with lust, it is fruitless, powerless for you to quote Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. Are you with me? If you're being tempted with anger, you don't quote Genesis 1:1. You quote the verse that applies to your issue. That's using the word of God rightly, the Makaira. Okay, are you with me? The word of God also tells us regarding Jesus Christ that he is the word, and this is a Roman broadsword. Isn't it amazing? This is a heavy piece of material here. And if you saw Russell Crowe coming at you from a distance, if you were in war, he would be swinging this thing and he would almost look like a blender coming at you. And there's a way that they had this thing to be swung in such a way that if you were approaching a Roman soldier, you would be terrified, because the way that they did it was that they utilized both sides of this double-edged sword. Very, very important, very powerful picture of the Word of God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ himself is the Word of God. I say that to encourage you, because here is the Word of God standing in the flesh, speaking to his disciples, saying the very Word of God will be completely fulfilled regarding the Word of God, the bread of life that has come into the world. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I've come to fulfill. The Bible is written all about Jesus. Isaiah 55:8-11 tells us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, that his thoughts are beyond our thoughts, and that God's ways are not our ways, but his ways are past finding out. And he goes on to say there that as he causes the rain and the snow to fall from the heavens and to blanket the earth with moisture so that the ground breaks forth into budding and blossoming of flowers. Have you seen the hills? Have you driven from Chino Hills to Diamond Bar and you go through that incredible little piece of paradise? You see the lupins, you know, the purple lupins sprouting? You see the orange wild California poppies? Now, if you were painting your house, would you paint your house purple and orange? That's a sick thought, isn't it? But you know what God does? God causes rain to come down. He blankets the earth with green, beautiful velvety grass, and then he takes purple and orange and he sprinkles it over the hills, and you drive by and you go, ooh, only God can mix those colors together right. If I did it, it would look horrible. And then he says, I have sent my word out and it will perform exactly that thing for which I've sent it, and it will never return to me void. God's word. It's so fun being able to proclaim God's word, because the power is not in any of us. The power is not being an evangelist or a pastor. The evangelist or the pastor or the Christian should know where the power lies, and that is the Holy Spirit who uses the Word of God. Amen. That's the issue. And Jesus is giving them the Word. Here's the bummer. They don't want to hear it. And you say, well, Pastor, those disciples, they were really something, those bad guys. Hey, listen, you and I are just like that. God will show us and tell us something, and we'll start whistling and look the other way like we didn't hear him. Oh, I really want that thing. God, do you want me to have this thing? Okay, he does. He wants me to have this thing. And you don't have any peace about it, and you didn't get a yes from God about it, and then you get the thing, and then it really winds up making you sick, and you're all upset about it, and then you wish you didn't have it. All because, listen, we don't want to hear what he might say. Well, listen, it is absolutely vitally important that we understand that God's word is given to encourage us, even when we don't understand it. Keep that in mind. It will be accomplished, what God has written. Point number two this morning is verses 32 to 34. We want to open up, listen, not only our minds, but this is vital. You can't do one without the other. Open up your mind, my friend. If you're a doubter, if you're a skeptic, open up your mind to what God says. Number two, open up your heart. You can't really be a real, true, blue, living human being without opening up your mind, that is using your mind and your heart. God will put those two things together. By honestly looking at the evidence, verse 32 is absolutely one of the most amazing verses in the Bible, and here's the reason why. Verse 32, Jesus speaks and he says, mark it down, take notes. He says, for, the word means because, the word of God's going to be accomplished, verse 31, because, verse 32, here it is, mark it. Number one, he will be delivered to the Gentiles. Church, did that happen? Not only is it recorded in the Bible, it's recorded in Roman history. It's recorded by unbelieving historians. Jesus Christ was delivered into the hands of the Roman powers. The cool thing is, Jesus is telling the disciples before it happens. Number two, he will be mocked. Was he not mocked? The Bible says that he would be insulted. Next one, number three, insulted, made fun of, ridiculed. If you're the king, come down from the cross. Remember they made fun of him? Did that happen? Yes. Number four, spit upon. They spit on him. And I don't mean a little lady spit. You ladies have such little, first of all, ladies don't spit. But if they have to spit, it's the cutest thing in the world. I don't know if my wife's in this service or not, but women just don't know how to spit. Because you just don't do it, because you're ladies. And you and it's down your chin, you don't know what's going on. And a man will look at a woman spit and just go, why? Because we know how to lay them down. Especially after a nice tall glass of milk. We can really. Jesus is saying they're going to spit on me. And the Roman centurions and the religious rabbis and scholars walked by, and the Bible says they spit on him. And I'm not talking some little lady spit. It was a horrible scene. And then look at number five, found in verse 33. And they will scourge him. Notice Jesus is speaking, by the way, in the third person. He says they will scourge him. You want to know why? In theological terms, you know why he's doing that? The Holy Spirit is speaking through him a prophetic word. The Holy Spirit's speaking. They're going to scourge him. The cat of nine tails, the Roman cat of nine tails, it's a stick with a ball on the end with nine leather whips, and the nine leather whips are about 18 to 24 inches long, embedded with fishbone, glass, and rock. Nine of them. So when you get hit once, you're getting hit nine times. Eyewitness accounts have recorded when men were beaten with the cat of nine tails, it filleted their back open, and Josephus writes that many victims, you could see their lungs still breathing and operating while they're being whipped, as it would rip flesh out of their back. Jesus would be beaten. Not only that, Isaiah chapter 50 prophesied that concerning the Messiah, that they would take his beard and pluck it out. And you know how Rome did that one? They took a stick anywhere from 3 to 6 inches long, a stick, and they fed it through the beard of the victim, just poked it through, and then they twisted it around the hair, and then they would take what is called the cleat. They would take their cleat and put the cleat, their sandal, on his forehead, grab that stick like this. Are you with me? Anybody with me? And they would pull it. And again, eyewitness accounts tell us that you could see the victim's teeth and gums when they would pluck out the beard. The Bible says they did that to Jesus. You can read more about that in great detail, the prophetic suffering of Christ in Isaiah chapter 50 and 53. The Bible there lays out in extreme detail about the suffering that the Messiah would go through. Listen, look at the evidence. Use your heart and mind. Look at the evidence concerning Jesus. Understand this. God help us in this world that we're in right now, because you know what? The biggest black eye that the church has been delivered by itself by Christians. Christians who fail to appreciate what Jesus has done. Christians who flirt and date and goof around with sin like it's nothing. Amen. And then they say, oh, God's going to forgive me. Be careful about that. Are you really a believer? Because listen, are you really struggling with things in your life? Now, don't get me wrong. All of us struggle with things in our lives. But the truth of the matter is, are the things that are tempting you, are they so minuscule and weak, but you yield to them? Listen, I have a wonderful bit of news to you, for you, for us. Love Jesus more than that ridiculous sin. Love him more. You won't have to worry about, oh no, and what about this, and oh my goodness. Listen, put your face in the book and know how much he loves you. And then when Bubbles comes tripping along and flirts with you, you can just go, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Bubbles or eternal life through Jesus Christ? Bubbles or life in God? You have to think about that one? Love him more. And how do you love him more? By seeing what he has worked for you. Isaiah 52 and 53. The work he has worked for you has been an amazing thing. Salvation through Christ. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. He gives it, but you got to receive it. Open up your eyes and receive what he has. And it's beautiful, by the way. Keep looking at this. They will kill him. But Jesus never mentioned this scenario, nor the Holy Spirit, without saying, but on the third day, he'll be risen from the dead. Isn't that great news? The question is, did the disciples hear that? Well, look at verse 34. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Honestly, we need to draw a conclusion. Look at the evidence and draw a conclusion. Check it out. The disciples, they didn't understand. Now watch it carefully. They didn't understand, and the things were hidden from them. Read your Bible carefully. You would think by reading it in the English that it means they couldn't understand. It was like a mystery. Oh no, the exact opposite. The truth is that they would not receive it. He wanted them to know what was coming up. They didn't want to hear it. We battle that in our lives, huh? When you come home and you say, I got good news, I got bad news. First of all, you're, oh no. Right? Some of us who are weirdos like me, I always want to have the bad news first. Give me the bad news. And by the way, I know when people always come to me and tell me good news, something's wrong. Life ain't full of good news. Life has some good news in it. But there's bad news too, you know? Have you ever asked somebody, how you doing? Fine. And you ask them that for about, I don't know, 5, 10 years. It's always good. They may be nice to you, but they're not being honest with you. Jesus tells the disciples, I have a date in Jerusalem with the cross. And they willingly will not hear it, and they will not receive it. Church, before we press on, do they have eyes? Yeah. But can they see? They look around at all the stuff that's in front of them, and Jesus speaks the words to unlock their heart, to engage their mind, to bring them to a point, and they miss it. And this is a danger for all of us. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, it says the Apostle Paul, in that he prayed for the church that was in Turkey, it there says in Ephesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes, here it is, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, which are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You see, Jesus had been telling them all along. In fact, mark it down. Earlier on in Luke chapter 9, verse 22, and Luke chapter 9, verse 44, Jesus had warned them and said, listen, church, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to die. He tells them again. In fact, listen to this. In Luke 9, 44, he says, let these words sink deep into your hearts, into your ears. What is it, Jesus? He says, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. And the Bible tells us that they didn't believe him. They didn't see it. They didn't want to hear it. Leads us to the third point. The final point is this. Don't get excited. It's the final point, but it's a big one. You're not going home yet. Are you willing to receive your sight? Then open your mouth. Verses 35 to 43. See, God begins to touch your mind. He gives you a word. He's speaking to you. Maybe this morning you're here and you don't even know why you're here. I mean, you're here, but it's like, you know, what's going on in my life? Listen, I want you to know something. He has pulled you off to the side and he's telling you about things to come. Things to come. Are you willing to hear it or not? What about your mind? Next, what about your heart? This is critical because it's going to happen. It's going to take place in your heart that you will be convinced of the very evidence that God has shown you in history and in the Bible, that everything Jesus records in verse 32 and 33 actually happened. It really happened. And then also verse 34 about being honest enough to draw a conclusion, to come to a conclusion. They didn't understand. They willfully didn't listen. That builds a response in our lives. And it's to open your mouth. Why? Why, Pastor, do I need to open my mouth? How is my mouth open? How do I receive my sight by opening my mouth? Oh, watch this. So you can hear. You want to open your mouth. Watch. So you can hear. The mind, open it up. The heart, listen to him. Open it up. Watch. Look. Why? Because you'll have something to say. You'll open your mouth. Yes. Because, listen, God wants you to hear something. And check this out. This is fun. Verse 35. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. Verse 37. I love this. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Little bit of background. This man would have done what beggars do. Remember, he's blind. He would have gotten up in the morning, as they do, make their way to the city gates where passers-by pass by. And he would have began his begging for the day. You with me? Normal day. It's a normal day for him. He's blind. He fumbles along the way. Some parts are familiar to him. Maybe something, you know, is different, but he makes his way to his place, sets up his little camp. Have you ever seen beggars? Have you ever traveled to foreign countries? For foreign countries? go to LA. And there's beggars, hand out, alms for the poor, they might say. This is normal for this man. But listen, it's Passover season. There's hundreds of thousands of people streaming into Jerusalem to the point that it would swell to nearly 3 million people coming in three different directions. There's a huge crowd going by. And so he makes an inquiry. What's going on? Normal question. People are pressing and pushing and in route. And somebody shouts back, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And I want you to think about that for a moment. First of all, the person answers and says, Jesus of Nazareth. Why? Why that? Oh, why? Because for 33 and a quarter years, Jesus was the Jesus of Nazareth. because the Jesus of Nazareth was the Jesus regarding the scandal regarding Bethlehem. Remember when the Pharisees said, "We know who your father is." That was another slam against who his dad was. They believed he had no father, earthly father, that Mary had gotten pregnant out of wedlock. By the way, in the beginning, you remember the Christmas story. Joseph thought the same thing at the beginning. He sought to divorce her. Engagement in the Middle East. If you're engaged and you're going to break it off, you have to go through divorcement because engagement is powerful that way. No, God shows him in a dream. Listen, Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That holy thing that is within her is the eternal Son of God. So all of the speculation, somebody shouts, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." My question to you is, what did this man know about the Jesus of Nazareth? What did he know? Can you imagine? Oh my goodness, I've heard about this guy. Number one, his whole life has been a constant buzz of speculation. People have been talking about this guy forever. I can't believe he's passing through my town. And then on top of it, I've heard about his miracles. People have said, I've heard that he raises people from the dead. I even heard that he cleanses lepers by touching them. And when he speaks, I heard that he speaks with more authority than the Pharisees themselves.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called, "Are You Willing to Receive Your Sight?" It's a look at Luke's New Testament account, chapter 18, and verses 31 through 43, part of our teacher's verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, a reminder of what we're currently offering here on Real Radio, Pastor Jack's DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Now, it's no secret that we live in quite the sexually charged age. Sexual immorality in its various forms is actually praised and celebrated. But what about the church? Certainly things must be different in the professing church, right? Well, these and other issues are dealt with in this DVD series from the scriptural worldview. In fact, here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about this series. Pastor Jack?
Well, thanks, Mike. And you know, what we're talking about in this little mini-series entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners is the fact that political correctness is nothing new. Well, we learn in this series that at the church at Corinth, they were allowing, that is the church leadership and the body of Christ at Corinth, they were allowing sexual immorality to be conducted among their members. They didn't rebuke it, they didn't deal with it, and they spun it, Mike, as tolerance, that they were a gracious church, that they were a loving church, that they were a very tolerant church. And what they had really fallen into, Paul points it out vividly, was, in a sense, political correctness. And in our little mini-series, Paul addresses how a church leadership should deal with this and how a church itself should keep itself from sexual immorality. And so for all these reasons and more, we want to make available to you what we're studying right here at church, and that is the book of Corinthians and this three-part series of Saints, Sex, and Sinners. How should leadership deal with sexual immorality among the saints? What does the Bible say regarding church discipline? And how should all of us walk in the fear of the Lord when it comes to how to conduct ourselves in the house of God? And so I encourage all of you to get a copy of this series, and I think it will strengthen your walk. It will certainly generate conversation. And Mike, you can tell the people how they can obtain their own copy.
Yes, indeed. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You can call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.